The mayor shot himself in the middle of the throw? Suitcase Simpson said when he got there. To be determined, Jesse said. Neil O'Hara, not just Jesse's boss, his friend, one who'd ended up in the middle of the war between Singer and Barone, and the middle of the campaign about the sale. One who'd been fighting the deal in vain, trying to convince his constituents that there were more important things than money. And I'd finally started thinking of him as the mayor, Suit said. For as long as anybody could remember, the true mayor of Paradise had been the president of the Board of Selectmen. They had finally decided the year before to make it an elective office. Neil had then won the town's first ever mayoral race, Gary Armistead running as his deputy. They had won by a lot. People liked Neil O'Hara. Just not everybody. Jesse said, doesn't do him much good now. By now, Jesse had done everything by the numbers. Called 911, called Ellis Monroe, Paradise's new district attorney, and no friend to the Paradise Police Department, who'd called Brian Lundquist at the state police, who'd sent two of his guys over. For once, Jesse and Monroe had managed to get through a conversation without arguing. He had made no secret from the time he'd gotten the job that he was the most powerful law enforcement figure in the town and in the county. Not Jesse. And had made it clear to Jesse that it was a new day in law enforcement in America. Maybe he'd noticed. It had been in all the papers. And that the days when prosecutors let cops make up the rules as they went along were long gone. I know you don't need my guys, Lundquist had said on the phone. But my boss got the ass last time we didn't have our people there first thing. It had been when Lily Kane had shot herself on the other side of town. A member of one of Paradise's royal families, the way Thomas Lawton was. We've all got bosses, Jesse said. You don't, Lundquist said. Jesse had called Dev Chadha, the medical examiner. Called Molly Crane, knowing there would be holy hell to pay later in the morning if he didn't. And Suit and Gabe Weathers. They all knew how crucial the first 2 hours were. That missed evidence, whether it was a suicide or a homicide, could be devastating to an investigation later on. Suit liked to tell Jesse that he didn't just do things by the book. He acted sometimes like he'd written the book. It was past 2 a.m. now, a couple hours after Jesse had discovered the body, and the SIG P-365, the expensive XL model, next to Neil's right hand in the dirt. R.I.P., Jesse thought. The body of Neil O'Hara had finally been bagged and loaded into the van and taken to Dev's lab. Jesse had once again reminded Suit and Molly that only amateurs wanted a body transported away from the scene as quickly as possible. Can I do the rest of it? Molly Crane said, grinning at him. By now, pretty sure I know it by heart. Knock yourself out, Jesse said. You want your ME's eyes on the scene as long as possible, Molly said. Suit picked it up from there. Can't have too many sets of eyes, Suit said. Am I really that entertaining to the two of you? Jesse said. Endlessly, Molly said. They had been through this enough times by now, Jesse and Molly and Suit, to know that they weren't disrespecting the victim or his memory with humor or snark. They weren't trying to normalize what had happened, whatever had happened, and how Neil O'Hara, a good guy, had ended up here. But Neil wasn't Jesse's friend now, or mayor. Or husband of Kate. He was their Vic. He was whatever case number Molly would give him when they were at the station later. And what was going to be a shit show began almost immediately. Molly said, why would Neil kill himself? If he killed himself, Jesse said. Sorry, she said, if. You want the whole list or just a partial, Jesse said. Problems at home? He got caught embezzling money? He found out he was sick. He found out Kate was sick. Or she'd been cheating on him. He found out her secrets or had some of his own. Or just one big one. Maybe it was just depression. They'd stepped away from the grave. 25 million people in this country suffer from depression every year, he said, almost talking to himself now. Half of the people who kill themselves suffer from major depression. If you include alcoholics, who are goddamn depressed, it goes from 50% to 75%. He stopped and smiled at both of them. You learn a lot about depression in rehab, he said. Their position is that safe is a hell of a lot better than sorry. He's the chief, Suit said to Molly. He even knows shit he didn't learn in rehab. Gabe had taken foot castings from the grass around the grave. Dev had cut Neil O'Hara's fingernails before he left and checked them, and his hands, for gunpowder residue. Jesse had been the one to bag the SIG and handed it over to Lundquist's detectives, Crandall and Scopetta, both solid cops with whom he had worked before. Jesse walked away from Molly and Suit, wanting to think, wanting to absorb the scene, making a long, slow circle, walking toward the ocean and then back around toward the woods. The throw. Not prime real estate now. This was a crime scene, involving a man who, even before he became mayor, when he was just a member of the board, had saved Jesse's job more than once when Jesse was still a drunk. With all that, Jesse couldn't help himself. He felt the way he did when he was a kid before the first pitch of a game, a combination of excitement and adrenaline and even fear. If it was suicide, he would find out why. If it was murder, made to look like suicide, he would find out who did that to Neil O'Hara, because he owed him that. He didn't need Dix, his therapist, to explain why something as bad as this made the cop in him feel this good. Dix knew. He'd been a cop himself. A cop was who Jesse was now. Sometimes all he was. Peter Perkins came walking over to them from the west side of the property. He'd been over to Neil's house, said his car was in the garage. You go through the house, Jesse said. I was waiting for you to give me the go-ahead. Go ahead, Jesse said. Jesse told Molly and Sue to make another sweep of the property, and then another one after that. Jesse told them he was going to drive over to Neil's old house, the one on Stiles Island, in which he'd lived before he and his wife separated, and break the news to his wife. Estranged wife, Molly said. Still his wife, Jesse said. You sure you want to be the one? Molly said. Jesse knew what she meant. Jesse had been involved with Kate O'Hara once, the last relationship she'd had before she married Neil. It hadn't lasted long, but had been fairly intense while it did. He was still drinking then. Sometimes he wondered if it was as intense as he remembered, or if it just felt that way because he was still a drunk. It should be me, Jesse said. He was my friend. She's still my friend, even though I haven't seen much of her lately. He noticed Molly staring past him then, out toward the woods in the distance, her eyes suddenly wide, her focus nearly fervid, everything about her completely alert. He had seen this look from her plenty of times before, the full force of her directed at someone or something. What's wrong? Jesse said. Thought I saw a ghost, Molly Crane said.